Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about consciousness, the evolution of consciousness. Technologies of consciousness has been a big focus of this program the last, I don't know, 6-7 years, and that's why I'm talking tonight to Bill Foss. He works with the Akashic Records, and we're going to go deep into that understanding. I've interviewed people about the Akashic Records before, but I think Bill has a unique, interesting perspective. He's also written just a huge book on the subject. So, hey, welcome, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Alan. It's good to be here with you this evening.
And what's the name of your new book?
The new book is called Journey to the Akashic Records, and it's available on Amazon or my site, BillFoss.net.
Okay. So let's talk about, I've heard Akashic, I've heard lots of different, what does that mean, Akashic Records, and are there actually records somewhere of our soul's events, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the term Akashic Records was coined largely by Edward Casey. So in the earlier part of the 1900s, the Midwest and the East Coast, as you know, Edward Casey and
I didn't realize he coined that word.
He coined the word Akashic, you know, with the IC. It stemmed from an ancient term that is Akasha. And Akasha is an ancient word that's found in many of the ancient texts. It literally translates as sky library. So it's found in ancient Egyptian, ancient Tibetan, some of the other Middle Eastern dialects, including Sumerian.
It's called Sky Library in ancient
That's loosely what it translates to in many of these languages, Sky Library.
And what the original was Egyptian?
Well, Egyptian, Tibetan. It's hard to get a lock on which one. It goes all the way back to Atlantis. Okay, the concept and the energy of the records goes all the way back to Atlantean times when the Akashic Records were part of Atlantis.
No. So it goes back to Atlantis. So you think Edgar Casey, since he was connected with that, brought through these ancient teachings to kind of connect us back to the time of Atlantis,
he was, you know, in many ways, he's the one that in our contemporary recent times that brought it into the scope of public, and he was doing it. He was using the Akashic Records basically to document medical intuitive readings for individuals. And then he would go into trance, and he would read for people, and he would read about the times of Atlantis and the times of Christ. Those were two hot spots for him. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to add to that and say, as I studied the Akashic Records and found sources of information about it earlier in my spiritual quest about 20 years ago, coming from working professionally in the fields of art and music, and started to really do my quest, my spiritual quest, my vision quest in life, and I found information on the Akashic Records. I said to myself, what is this? I've got to know more about it. I never really studied Edward Casey's work that much. In fact, almost none. But what I did is I found sources of information on it, anywhere from beginner to advanced, and that was hard to find. And once I got into it, I realized that I already knew all of this, and I had no reference point whatsoever to why I knew all of this already. Now, I didn't have a problem with believing in past lives. I just took it as a second nature, you know. But as I got into studying the Akashic Records and the vastness of it, and through my other meditation techniques, realized how many different dynamics there were and how it's really connected to everything and everyone and all the souls here in this world. I realized that there was I had a whole new way of relating the information to people without relying on somebody else's messages.
But what does Akashic actually mean? What's that word? What's the actual definition?
It's an ancient word that means Akasha. Okay, it doesn't mean that's how you pronounce Akasha.
Wait, what does Akasha mean, though?
If you went to, let me give you one example from one of the ancient studies. If you go into ancient Hindu, there's a set of symbols that represents the elements, and there is earth, water, fire, air, and Akasha. So it's like air, or it's like sky, it's like the sky. And
Akasha is like the ether. Is it like ether?
Yeah, it is. It's ether based. It's sky based. If you, for all practical purposes, in the way that I relate the information to people, if you use the archetypal terminology of sky library, it's gonna that will take you far, because it is an actual place in the higher dimensions of the planet, where the souls, it's sort of like a Grand Central Station, if you will. You know, so, you know, when you're in Grand Central Station, people are coming and going, and they've got those really high ceilings and all of the angel paintings that are up there. It's an amazing place. This is a lot like the Akashic Records. Now, granted, it doesn't feel exactly like Grand Central Station, but it will have that. It will have an otherworldly feel to it. It has a presence to it. So when you tap into it, when you go into a deep meditation and you transport, you're able to, through a guided journey, astral project yourself, and astral projection is associated with the fifth dimension, but we're going through the fifth dimension. We're going up much higher. We go up into the higher dimensions, 10th, 11th, 12th dimension, right around in there. And we go to this place that's in the upper ethers of the Earth's outer atmospheres, where the energy is very clear. And this is like a part of heaven. And this is where all the souls who have been incarnate, when people pass, in their moment of passing, we have family members, angels, archangels, Christ, other ascended masters that will come, and they will help, they will bring a soul up to this place, and they will be brought before their book of life, and they'll be able to talk to people. They'll be able to talk to teachers, librarians, guides there, and it's a very, very soft, creative environment, just like a library. And they want you to, because there's no duality in these higher dimensions. There's not like, oh, what did you do? Okay, let's take you over here, and, you know, there's everybody on a soul level. You're brought up, and you look at your records, and you go over it with people.
Is this like a life review? You're saying, is this what they call a life review?
So, yes, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. So, and you're able to look at it.
Uh-huh.
You're able to look at it, and they're able to walk through it with you and say. And the interesting thing is, when you're out of body at that point, you know your past lives. You can look along the timeline. You can look back. You know who you are on a core level and what you've been through. And they'll look back. You can look, and they can look with you, and you can say, well, this thing from a past life here, maybe five lifetimes back or from your most recent lifetime, see how that translates, see how you played it out and worked on healing around love in all of these different situations with all of these different partners and people. And this one section, well, you had a little bit of challenge right here. So how do you feel about that? sometimes you're able to work through cause and effect or karmas that are created by responses on the earth plane to situations and events in a way that you don't have to replay them. If it's something that's dramatic, like killing, you know, let's say somebody, the loss of a life of another person was involved, and it was at your hand in somehow, some way. You know, maybe there was maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a decision that was made, something like that. Or maybe it was a direct killing of some sort. Well, then that soul is probably going to have to come back and do a little bit of cleanup work. But there's no judgment. I mean, they don't say, hey, you know what, we're labeling you here. They just say,
but this happens after every lifetime, right? And go back.
Yes, it happens after every lifetime, and we remember when we're up there. The reset that happens, there's a reset that happens when we come back down. And as it's non-linear time, space, reality, it's beyond linear time. So when you go up into the records, what could appear to be a few minutes up there could be 50 or 100 years down here.
But wait, I don't understand. What exactly are the records, and where exactly is this actually a place, or is it a state of consciousness? Is it a presence?
Let me give you a little more overview, Alan, for you and for our listeners. A lot of times when we're studying consciousness, energy, space, God, all of these things, it's a very wide range, or these terms translate loosely, and they mean a lot of different things. So oftentimes people will say, well, the Akashic Records is a universal consciousness. That's not so. Each planet and each celestial body has its own set of Akashic Records, and that's the way it works.
Doesn't each person have its own set of their own set of Akashic Records?
Yes, absolutely. Each person, each soul, has its own set of records called your Book of Life, referred to as your Book of Life. So you have, let's say you have a Book of Life within the Akashic Records, and you can go there when you're guided up there, and you can look through it and go past, present, and future possibilities or probabilities. Now, so the Akashic Records is, I like to refer to it, and so you can get your mind around it in a way that we can understand it here, right on the playing field. I want to refer to it in three different ways. Number one, it is a modern-day modality. So it is a modality alongside everything else. Number two, it's an ancient mystical system of divination. Okay, reading the Akasha in a lot of these ancient civilizations by the masters and the high priests was something that was reserved for the priestly class, or it was something that people of mystical, that studied mystical origins were into. This was a form of science for them. It wasn't necessarily woo-woo or hoodoo or anything like that.
But I'm still not understanding what was the reading of the Akashic Records was a form of science?
Well, in ancient times, it was, okay? Mm-hmm. It was, working with energy when we had less technology on the planet, working with energy was definitely, I think, looked at as a technology, if you will. I mean, it's more of an organic way of working with, and, picture yourself in all you have is nature, and yourself and other people and energy, and you've got the stars, you've got the moon, the sun, and the planets. And at some point in realizing God and the origins of the self, these ancient masters and the Siddhas of India really went into this. And here's this ancient mystical system of divination. They in their self-realization, they started to have these out-of-body experiences, or they started to go up and connect with these records. Because it's a very real place, and these souls are going there between lives, it stands to reason that at some point, someone would be of high enough vibration or in their astral projections or deep, deep states of meditation that they would find this place. Now, if one person could do it, then many persons could do it. And so there started to be in the higher, in the priestly classes and the mystical, the orders, you know, wherever they were throughout Europe or Celtic times.
Okay. So you're saying, wait, let me just integrate. Sorry to interrupt you. But
sure,
it's a real
sure.
place. I'm just trying to integrate this. It's the
this
Akashic
is number
records.
Three. That's number three. That's number three. It's a real place.
What do you mean it's number three?
Well, there's number one, it's an ancient, number one, it's a modern day modality. Number two, it is an ancient mystical system of divination. And number three, it's an actual place.
Now, let's start with the place. So it's a place
okay.
that you go, but only in your astral body. You can't go there in your physical body.
That's true. So if I can give you just a little example, when someone
yes.
passes, let's go in a natural passing of the human humans of the soul of a human. So when a person gets to their moment of calling, their moment of going to the other side, so to speak, the veils are pulled back and they can see past, present, and future. They can see beyond linear time. And at that point, their soul, along with what's called the astral body, and we have multiple bodies or energy fields that are, it's a multi-layered suit that's enjoined with our physical body. The astral body is an exact representation of the person that is in physical form. So, Alan, if we took your astral body and set it beside your physical form, your astral body would be what we see. Let me say it this way. Hollywood was closer than they thought. We all thought that it was tongue-in-cheek every time they would show somebody transparently, you know, moving through a room like in the movie Ghost or What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. But this is
right.
This is closer than we originally thought, because
can you see the astral body yourself? Can you see that?
Well, at times, yeah, when I go into deep states of meditation, absolutely, yes.
I see.
If I may, Alan, I need to finish this thought because it's
yeah.
important.
The
soul, your soul goes with your astral body. Your soul and the astral body go together. So that's your celestial soul and your body soul, and those two move up to the records. Now, here's the important part. Your astral body has all of the emotions and all of the thoughts of you in the here and now still intact when it moves to the other side. So this is what, when you go up into the records, these are the charges of energy, the thoughts and the emotional patterns. These are the harmonics that they're able to say, hey, Bill, or hey, Anne, or whoever, you know, and they're able to say, you know, based on what your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and your everything that is the divine self that you are, we're going to work with that, and we're going to look at your records here.
Mm-hmm. But I thought the soul, this is my understanding, the soul is the part of us that held those memories, those feelings. It was all on a soul level, in a sense. The soul was held it in a vibratory frequency, everything we've experienced in all our lifetimes. So if not, what is the soul then to you?
That's one way that you could say it. I mean, that translates. Yes.
But how would you define the soul? What is the soul?
As you look more into it, in the way that I'm describing it, the soul is part of God. Okay, so in the first moment, many of the souls came out from the first moment, from the great central sun, and as the universe is expanding, created, okay? And these souls were going out across the universes, and there was one harmonic. They say in the Bible they refer to it as a command, but it's, let's look at it as a harmonic instruction. There was one harmonic instruction for the souls to know the self. To know the self.
Wait, wait, the soul to know the self. And who was the self?
So the self is God. And this is where when you get into talking to the yogis and they're in deep samadhi and they're sitting there with their eyes half open, they look at you and they say, we're all one. You know, that's what they're referring to. All of the souls are part of God. And as they went out as individual souls or fingertips, these souls found their way to different star systems, to planet Earth, and they started to enjoin with human bodies, with some of the forms of human were evolutionary, some were human as we are now, and during different timelines. These souls started to integrate and enjoin with a human, the body soul of a human form. So your human body and your astral body together, again, here's that astral body again, as part of the soul, your astral body, when that goes with the soul in passing, it holds what we call the body soul. And the body soul has the remembrance from the different lifetimes of, let's say, playing hopscotch or jumping from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime through a family bloodline. A lot of souls will try to incarnate first into the same ancestral bloodline. So this is where you get a lot of readings where people, you know, they remember family members, or they've been, you know, Susie's been, you know, Jack's mom in another life, and on and on back through the family. Now this is a tendency. Most souls would try to do this out of a harmonic preference to stay in the same bloodline. But there are souls that jump from race to race in different parts of the world. This is one reason why, let's say we've got a Jewish person and they have a family bloodline, but this Jewish person says, well, I clearly remember being Native American in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And that can bring up, you know, they might not talk about it with the rest of their family, right? But for all practical purposes, they clearly have dreams and visions of this. And maybe at some point they get some guidance. Maybe they have an Akashic Records reading with me or someone else, or maybe they have a psychic reading, and somebody says, you were Native American in a past life. And this is because part of the soul, while that body soul was jumping over and over through the bloodline, a celestial soul is moving through, it could be moving through different parts of the world and gathering different observations with different bodies in different places. And when it lands with a body soul that it jives with, that there's a harmonic vibration, and the soul says, you know, I like this. I like this body soul. I like who this person is. There's a harmonic vibration that happens between these two parts of the soul, and we start to move towards what we call evolutionary ascension.
But evolutionary ascension? Let's get to that, but why don't we... when you say these different souls, which soul holds our consciousness? Which one is us, the being that we know as our soul? Which part of the soul is that?
Both parts. So I often refer to it in the classes as you have two souls, okay, in order to make a point. A lot of traditional a lot of traditional healers or ancient lineages such as Native American and some others, shamanism, they'll refer to the body soul as the spirit, okay? If you ever hear them talk in that way, a lot of times this is the body soul. It has the sentient remembrances or vibrations of the body. And for all practical purposes, also in answer to your question, I usually will refer to the true self as the celestial part of the soul that came from God, because that's who we truly are. God coming out and integrating with the human body's souls in order to give not only the soul, but the mind and the body itself a chance to integrate and ascend, if you will. And we all have the template. We all have the possible template for ascension within us. It's part of who we are, no matter if we were manipulated by ancient races from time to time.
But what's your definition of ascension? I mean, lots of people use that word, but everyone means something else. What do you mean?
Well, there's two different ways. We're all going to ascend at the end of our lives, right?
No, I'm not sure what you mean by ascend. What does that mean? I mean, I'll tell you what I know as ascension. It means when you could turn your body into light and leave with your body so your body doesn't die, but it actually becomes a light frequency. That's ascension in the definition.
Absolutely.
So
I
it's not that the body transcends death.
So we have that. We have that now. If someone hasn't geared to that, if someone's not geared to be able to do that in a certain lifetime because of diet, or karma, or emotional or mind tendencies or whatever, then they're going to naturally ascend up into the records, and from that point they'll decide together with God and the powers that be whether they want to come back and keep on evolving towards a state where they can do that, or where they want to go on to another star system.
Mm-hmm. What's so in another star system that's not here? Like, what would they, different types of things?
I just wanted to mention, Alan, I agree with your definition of ascension. I think that's very important.
Well, then not everyone does that at the end of their life. Some people go back reincarnate.
Not very many people have. But the people that have are looked at as special. And remember what Christ said, this and greater things shall you do. And, Sai Baba and Babaji, these ancient masters that became immortal or stopped the aging process or...
Well, I don't think Sai Baba became immortal.
Sai
Baba.
No.
There are people who have, though, for sure, yes.
He had a different program. You were asking about different star systems, what's there. Many different civilizations. Many civilizations are advanced. No war, great science, wisdom, all of these things, but their bodies are not as intricate as the human chakra system and everything that makes up the hydroelectric, biodynamic, multidimensional being that is you in human form. And that's why a lot of alien souls want to come here and experience Earth. I mean, because it's a very special thing. As young of a race as we are, and in comparison, it's still a beautiful, beautiful planet. And we have
I love
so
this
much...
planet. It's one of my favorite planets. It's a lovely place. Yeah.
That's great.
All right, so this astral part of ourselves, this is what we travel in when we have an out-of-body experience, this astral essence?
Yes. And you can take, well, you can, for all practical purposes, you can astral project, you can take your astral body up into the records, you can travel with your soul into the records, you can also just project with your mind. You can project to the senses, and this is the way that the ancient Egyptians did it. They projected through the senses or the upper openings of the body, which was very important, the upper openings of the body, eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, because they knew that this is where the soul was moving or tending itself down through the human form. So it comes in through the crown chakra, the face, the throat, the chest, primarily. Now,
what comes down through those things?
The soul.
The soul.
The primary channel where it moves, where it radiates through. The soul is radiating energy. That means it's tending itself in, and it's tending itself outward at the same time.
But this soul goes with us from lifetime to lifetime, right?
Yes. Yes. Unless somebody has a traumatic experience and there are agreements on the other side because there are other things in that person's future that have to be played out with other people for their healing or for their path or on and on and on, then we have situations that are called walk-ins. And this is where, you know, the healers on the other side, they get together and they say, hey, soul A isn't doing very good. Soul B, what do you think? And this all happens with the higher councils and with God, and it's just decided that a soul will come in and take over. And oftentimes people are, not always, but in some cases, people are conscious that they have a walk-in situation. They said, you know, something kind of shifted. I know after this certain point in my life, everything changed, and I feel like I'm different, and yet I have all of the memories and experiences and feelings that I've always had. But something is quite different. So somebody that had maybe a suicidal tendency or defecating some sort of a tendency, you know, that limiting beliefs in that way, it would be removed, and that that person would be able to step forward in life.
Right. So the soul. So what? Yeah, I've met walk-ins. Haven't you met walk-ins, actually?
Yeah. A few.
But they are different beings. So I guess I'm asking, who is the being? So that walk-in soul would have a different Akashic record than the previous soul, right?
It would. And sometimes people, if people are really going through something traumatic, they don't always remember it. They just heal up and they're able to move. They're able to get through their life. But as you say, Some people remember. They say, "Hey, at this certain point, this happened to me, and after I'm different, and from that experience or from that life-changing event forward, I just remember being from somewhere else."
Right.
So it's pretty interesting.
So, okay, I think I'm getting it. So now, the oracle aspect of Akashic, how does that work?
The oracle aspect of it is, this is where you can look at it from the standpoint of an ancient mystical system of divination. So it's an ancient way of using the Akasha or the Akashic records as an oracle. The Oracle of Delphi, or the Atlantean records, or the Library of Alexandria, or the ancient temples in Egypt where the Akashic records were kept.
Right. So
all of these, all of these ways. Even the even groups like the Knights Templar, the Rosicrucians, the Gnostics, the Cathars. There are multiple. There are multiple groups or mystical groups that have practiced connecting with this place throughout history in different cultures. And they may have called it something completely different.
Okay, but how does that actually, what is the system itself?
So let's give an example. Let's say we're in the Middle Ages, and there's a lot of magic happening. The earth energy is very high. Let's say we're in Europe somewhere, and the earth energy is very high. People have been practicing the magic of the earth of the old religion. They've been practicing, and there's a lot of light with it. There's a lot of dark. It's a whole, you know, it's a mixed bag, because people are able to use the energy, and they're able to direct energy and make all kinds of things. So there's a mystical kind of a pretense, if you will, that's amongst, you know, amongst the whole time and the place and the people, an understanding of it. Within that time, there was the Dark Ages, as they called it, where the energy started to separate as we're coming back around the great central sun, and we're going more into a state of, we're coming from unity, and we're moving back into separation, as now we're coming back around into unity again. So during this time of separation, where the energy was still high, and there were many alchemists and many magicians and wizards and witches and all of this stuff, but also there were a lot of spiritual teachers, and there were a lot of spiritual groups. So the Knights Templar, for instance, would come together, or the Rosicrucians would come together in a secret group, and they would do this behind closed doors, and maybe it was when they had a special.
They would do what
downstairs.
Exactly? What is it?
I'm getting there. Downstairs,
oh, okay.
Or upstairs or wherever.
Okay.
They had a
okay.
sacred place, and they would light a candle or fire, or they have water or something, and they would all get together, and either sit or stand in a circle, and they would project themselves. They would say a sacred holy prayer. And they would project themselves up to connect with the records. And they would connect with the angels and connect with the records, but in the same way that people were out amongst the countryside doing magic, these people would come together in a sacred group. And oftentimes it was done for research reasons. It was done to find out what was coming. You know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have NASA. They didn't have. All they had was the elements. And so, you know, when times were more primitive, but there were people that knew of spiritual energy, and in through the ages, this is why I referred to it as maybe a science, not a cold hard science, but. If you didn't have anything else to work with, and you could come together in a group and get into a really feel-good space, and you could project yourself up into the records and see, hey, what's coming? What's coming, you know, what's coming with the weather pattern?
And the group would do this. A bunch of people would do this together, right?
Yeah, and individuals. Nostradamus was accessing the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm. So how do you use it as? What's your way? Do you use it as an oracle for people, or what?
I use it. Primarily, the way that I use it, Alan, was when I got in touch with it first and started learning about it. I used it. They showed me who I was, who I had been in some of my lifetimes, which I had to sit with that because. I wasn't ready for it. And
why not?
People,
well, who were you? Who were you not ready? What happened?
I mean, this is that's not really important. But
Were you some famous person?
We all have been. We've all been. You know? So if somebody says, I was so-and-so, it changes everything. It doesn't.
Well, not really, because it doesn't really matter who you were. I mean, then.
Okay, I was Marilyn Monroe.
I love that. Okay.
And no,
congratulations. But you see, that's what I mean. It all might be true, but it also doesn't mean. I mean, yes, of course, it affects your life with patterns of. In a way, here we are.
Right. Exactly. The here and now is the only thing that's really important. It is kind of it's inspirational. People like the wow factor when they think, you know, when they find out about the records, because they can.
Yeah.
One of the tendencies to get people to get in and start studying is, who was I? What have I done? What have I been? So that gets them in, and then they get into the records and they feel the place and they get in touch with their own soul and they go, oh, this is much bigger and different than I thought. The who, what, and where that what did I do isn't as important as the journey of the soul. So
right.
as I kept studying, and I was led to start bringing groups together and doing guided journeys. My first guided journey groups were in Sedona, in Austria, in different places, and I found that I was a good doorstop, basically. I had a knack for opening a portal up into the records and taking a group up together where they could each journey and I could announce a guided meditation to them and they could feel the energy and see visions, you know, and come back and then report to the group, and we could do question and answer and they could journal on it and draw pictures of the symbols and the things that they've been in different lifetimes. So that became that's how I use it. That's how I used it up until the point where I did that for a few years, and then Spirit said, okay, now we want you to start doing readings for people. So that was the next level of it, and so I started doing readings for people. And I read for people all over the world now by phone or in person when available.
So what kind of reading? Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I from that point, after doing that for a while, they said, well, now we want you to start doing healing for people. And I hadn't studied Reiki. I hadn't studied anything, matrix energetics, theta. I know the dynamics of all of these because I've experienced them. A reconnection I can do naturally. But I had been a healer in other lifetimes, so I just know how to work with the energy. And they said, we want you to start healing. So people would start coming to me for readings, and I'd think, you need to do some healing, and we need to do some clearing. And most of the time they would say, okay, yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people are in touch with what they naturally need, you know. So,
right. So how do you do readings, though? Do you want to focus on that? Like, how would you do a reading?
Sure. Well, most of the time I'll just go into a space or I'll say a sacred prayer. And sometimes I'll do a quick read for somebody and bring out some key points. And then sometimes I will sit and I will work with somebody over the course of an hour. And this is where I will tell them, you know, let's say, for instance, when you get a psychic reading, there are differences between psychic and akashic, you know, and we can talk about that. But
What is that difference? Yeah. Oh.
Well, the difference is a psychic comes from the mind field. It's based on extrasensory perception, and it goes from mind to mind. Okay, so that's one. Psychic is more of the mind, and it's in the here and now. So anything from tapping into the person's fields, tapping into their mind, tapping into who they are in the here and now on any level, and bringing out sometimes long-range information, sometimes short-term information, based on who the person is now. Now, the difference with Akashic is Akashic records reading works like psychic, but a lot of times you're going to, and let me say this, all psychic is connected to the Akashic. Psychic is part of the Akashic, okay? So it's a part, no matter how gifted somebody is, you know, whether it's slightly gifted or whether it's a naturally gifted, prolific psychic that just sees visions and you know, just can go on and on and on and tell a person everything about themselves. This is coming from the records. Whether they're tapping into it or not, directly or indirectly, each person is connected to the records. So when that psychic looks into somebody, they're actually connecting somewhat, maybe even on a surface level, with that person's records that are connected through the energy centers in the body, the meridian points in the body, the energy fields, and their mind. So that's those are my thoughts on psychic. Akashic is more long range, and if you go into Akashic reading, someone can ask you psychic questions, but usually what I'll do is I'll give an overview of who that person is in a way that when they get to those smaller questions, they know why. They already know why. And there's a story or a dialogue that can happen that starts to bring a self-knowing to the person.
Uh-huh.
So that,
okay.
Anyone that's looking for psychic reading is trying to find something out. They either want to know something, whether it's about money and love, or you know what's going to happen, or how can I, you know, heal this situation, things like that, or things with family. Everybody wants to know something, and the same is true with stepping into an Akashic record session. Someone will. They'll want to know, but they're going to get healing. They're going to get connections through their soul, and they're going to other levels, higher levels of knowledge, information, and not only that, but healing. Vibrations from the Akashic records connecting with their soul, which they're always connected with. So there's an upload-download stream between your soul and the Akashic records that happens continually. And when you're able to connect with somebody, help them connect and strengthen that stream, they're able to receive more. So when you bring them the message, they get more healing out of it. There's a little more depth. They can process it.
Okay, so if you were going to do a psychic reading, you want to do a mini one here on me?
Well,
can you
sure.
Tell me your process?
Sure.
Normally I just
sit quietly and listen for a moment.
If you were going to teach someone how to do this, what would you do to teach them how to tap into the Akashic records?
Well, I would ask them. Let's say if I met somebody. You know, okay, get my book. Get my book because that will teach you, that'll teach you everything about it, and you'll have a better understanding than a lot of the surface levels, and it's easy to read because I'm a simple person, and it's written in a simple manner where everybody can understand it. So that's going to give somebody multiple ways. Now, if I met you in passing and you ask me, how can I get into the Akashic records? I would say, just sit down like you're going to meditate, close your eyes, don't try to do anything special, close your eyes, and just connect with God, connect with your soul, and just ask. Just say, God, would you please open my Akashic records or my Book of Life to me? And that is enough. That is enough as simple or mundane as that might seem. Someone can sit down and go into an REM state on the couch and start to receive pictures, start to receive visions or colors or messages. And the second thing I would tell somebody, practice, practice, practice. You can't, it's like trying to achieve samadhi. You can't do it once and say, oh, you know, I tried that, but it didn't work. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take a Reiki class.
Right.
You've got to stick with it. You've got to. And here's an interesting insider for you. This is one of the insiders from the book. Akashic records reading, and not many people think about this, and probably fewer know it, but Akashic records reading will bring states of enlightenment, just like some of the different higher yogic meditational techniques from India will, in a mm-hmm. whole different way, in a whole different way. It's really amazing. It's very unique.
Okay, so if you're going to do a reading on me, I mean, if you wanted to do a mini one, just
sure.
talk through the process of how you do this.
Well, I'll just listen, because
okay.
you're connected in, Alan. You're connected in, and I'm well studied enough with it and to start receiving some information about you or for you right away.
Okay.
Let me just tap in here. With your permission, we ask the keepers of the records to open the Book of Life for Alan Steinfeld, this divine soul, and his guides, teachers, and helpers to bring us information which is most helpful, healing, and beneficial for Alan Steinfeld as we open the Akashic Records and the Book of Life from within the Akashic Records. The Book of Life for Alan Steinfeld is now open. Just let me tap in for just a moment, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alan, I can tell you this. You are, as I'm just starting to get natural visions and imprints from your soul, you have a great light. You are a star being. I would be very surprised if you didn't already feel that in life.
Right, I do feel that, and I know that. Yeah,
you are from the stars, mm-hmm. and you've been here for a very long time. You've had many incarnations here. You've been on planet. You've been off planet. Okay, so you have actually even been incarnate with different alien races that have come here and visited in past lives and then came back to incarnate. So you found your way back to this planet naturally.
Okay.
Some of the places that I see you living in past life are very interesting. I see you, two of the very prominent places that I see right away are, I see South America, and I see Egypt,
mm-hmm.
or the Middle East. I think that you've been,
right.
I also think that you've been ancient Sumerian. Zachariah Sitchin's work would be very interesting for you to look at. Look at the Sumerian translations in his book, and look at the pictographs of the Sumerians. And their alphabet, and look at that, and see if that doesn't look familiar to you. You have been a researcher. You've been an astronomer. You've been a scribe. As enthusiastic as you are in this life, you've been even more so in other lives.
Uh-huh. About what?
When you could look, let's say, in ancient Egypt or those whereabouts, as they would put water in a big pool, and you would stand out under the desert and look into the pool and read the stars.
Right.
And
I remember
the energy of that, and you would look into the great beyond, and they were, you know, they were being visited by aliens. Right. I see you working in the priestly class, again, sciences and energy, you know, in a religious organized way, but science and energy, basically, natural, organic science and energy.
So, I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
that's a question.
I feel from your soul, I just feel that the joy, it gave you great joy to stand out and look up into the heavens at, can you imagine being able to see every star as if you could, like, reach out and touch them and think, oh, my God, what? There, I know there's more. Just that wonderment. That wonderment that came from deep inside of you really, really gave you a very joyful sense of aliveness.
Well, thank you for that. So with all this stuff you're telling me, which is very nice, I appreciate it, how can I use this, or how could someone hearing about whatever situation they went use this in this moment, in this life?
Okay. So, let's say if I bring through key elements like this for you, there's a part of you that resonates with it because you have lived that, and there's another part of your conscious mind or your ego that says, yeah, well, you know, that sounds, they're rather surface level, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I've heard this before, I've felt it, what can I do with it?
Right.
The practical mind wants answers, but the trick is, and how to use this, is to sidestep the ego and get into the soul. Okay, use the mind to sidestep the ego part of the self and get into the soul part of the self, and to be able to look without judgment. When you look at the pictures and the visions, or even think about these things from time to time to time without any conflict or judgment, this brings a resonance of energy. It allows for you to connect with simple things and to connect the dots in ways that will bring you a stronger knowing within yourself of, yes, I was there in South America in the area of the Nazca lines. I remember flying over them. I remember the runways. I remember the structures. I remember the glass structures. I remember the glass towers. I remember being in other parts of South America. I remember the outpost from Atlantis. I remember all sorts of very unique things. And that you can do this just by simply going to one of those places and just getting the ego out of the way. Because the ego is like a little kid with a blindfold on that has its hands out in front of it, and it's walking through a room trying not to trip over stuff. And I'm being rather comical picture, but this is the ego says, I don't know, I can't trust, I can't judge. What do you mean? I want to know, but I still have this blindfold on and I can just keep talking. You know what I mean? So you just have to, sidestep that ego that keeps, the ego's
right.
A happy part of it. The ego's
a happy part
and it has, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just curious what I need to know, looking at those records, what could you tell me that would help me evolve?
I would say to you, dear Alan, with all of your, with who you've been in all of your lifetimes, and the pure joy of the enthusiasm that you've had with the spiritual, scientific and energy quests in all of your lifetimes that if you will start practicing going into your records, I think it's going to give you, I think it will put you ahead of the curve for, and it will prepare you for what you want to do in the in-between and in your next journey. And this is key. This is key, and this is very important. I think it would be, in answer to your question personally, Alan, I think that this is one of the, based on everything else you know, and the Akasha is tied to all of these places and every single thing on Earth, on all of these elements that you've interviewed people on and that you've studied personally, and all of your quest and thirst for knowledge and your self-knowing process, all of it is all tied to the records. And so for that, with reverence, I say, if you start to tend yourself into the records, you're tending your soul energy deeper into your body, and they will start bringing you information and getting you ready for not only deeper states of enlightenment or higher frequency energy vibrations in this lifetime, possibly even ascension. These are all possibilities for you once you start stepping into the records, because you're...
How do I step into the records? By just imagining it?
Yeah, just start practicing. Just start practicing. Sit down.
But how do I start to practice?
Well, you want to sit down and get quiet. And remember, number one, get my book.
Okay. What's the name of your book again?
It's called Journey to the Akashic Records.
Okay.
But the process is that you want to sit down or lie down, cover up with a light blanket just to protect the body, you know, just to make your body feel comfortable when you journey out, and do whatever meditation process gets you into a relaxed, expanded state, whether it's Tai Chi or Qigong, maybe it's a yogic breathing exercise, maybe something like that. So here's a way that you can get your mind around it. It's like astral projection, but you're going to have a target location. Now, that term comes from remote viewing. So remote viewing is also a very thin slice of accessing the records. So you're going to astral project. You're going to have a target location, which is the Akashic Records, Great Hall of Records. And you're going to practice. And you may not get in the first time. Don't give up. You may try it before you go to sleep and not get in, and then you may fall asleep and go into a very prolific dream. And you come back and you say, I know that was the records.
You're accessing it just as we're speaking.
That's one of the here and now in results. You want to be able to be walking and talking and maybe not walking or driving, but you want to be able to be in the waking state with your senses open and be able to access the records. You know, I like to do it both ways, actually. I do like to, even though I can do it in the here and now with my eyes open, I like to do it the old-fashioned way. I like to, like, lie down or get into a deep meditation and, you know, get a couple of my favorite crystals. Maybe I have a certain reading crystal. I have a couple red Lemurian crystals sitting here with me that I like to use. And just something that feels very good. And let them help your vibration integrate and just go in and relax. And just be inspired about it. Just be inspired. Mm. And be ready to see what you see. Okay. The thing that keeps people out so many times is that people will say, oh, this is amazing, this is great, this is awesome. I'm so, you know, I'm excited about going in. Well, they're, the ego's in charge. Excitement, sadness is the deep, is the other depth. There's that wave, and the constant in the middle, that constant, that straight line in the middle, that's between these up, you know, these heights of excitement and these depths of sadness or emotional lulls. We want to stay there because when somebody gets excited about going in, and then they actually get ready to go in, maybe they even go in, on some level, at some point, they'll go, wait a second, I'm going to see everything. I mean, I could see anything. And then the ego, that's when the ego steps in and says, okay, God, just show me the good stuff, you know? So the ego sort of tries to put a filter on everything, and that can keep you skewed or keep the records closed. I think that God never gives us too much. I think that you'll see what you're ready to see. If there's something hugely traumatic, you're not going to see it the first time. You know, they'll save that until you start to feel comfortable. And the thing is, you can feel it, you can experience the emotion, but the thing that I tell people in the classes is that, and we have a national class coming up that I want to share with you before we sign off. And the thing I tell people in the classes is, it's remote. You're experiencing it through the soul. The soul is connected to the body. Your angels and guides are with you. The keepers of the records are with you. This is a divinely guided experience. Nothing's going to go wrong. You are asking about your personal knowing for the sake of your own self-empowerment. You know, you're asking to know the self. You're answering that divine instruction from the first moment when all souls went out was to know the self. And when you know the self by looking at it, here's another deep insight from the book. When you know yourself in the moment through observation of looking at what you've been and who you've been and what you've done and who you really truly are on a core level, without conflict, without judgment, without the ego, you are answering that clarion call to all souls, that instruction to know the self, and a releasing, a clearing, a karmic releasing happens. There's a finishing. There's an upgrade, an energy activations happen, healing in the body, clearing. Many, many, many gifts can happen during that process. So that in itself can be very, very empowering.
Sort of as you were talking, I just sort of felt myself going out into some other zone.
Yeah. That happens when I talk. I start to take someone with me into the records, or
yeah, I felt, but I couldn't remember anything, any place, and I couldn't. I didn't see anything. It just shifted me though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
How do I start to remember?
Well, just allow. Just allow.
So when you read the records for people, though, what kind of stuff, other people besides me, what kind of stuff do you tell them that can help them in this life?
Well, as you know, everyone has their own records and their own lives and their own groups of lifetimes and the people that they have been. And I've read for a really wide array of different people that have been through a wide array of different situations. It's really been amazing. I've read for people who died in Hiroshima during the atomic bomb. I've read for executioners. I've read for people from that just came down from the angelic realm. I've read for people that have been government figures. All kinds of different scenarios. I've read for people. You know, everyone. One thing that one dynamic that's very helpful for somebody is that I can also use this. I can use the records to do mediumship. So let's say somebody sits down with me and they say, you know, I lost my son. My son committed suicide. Then I'll connect with him through the records, and I'll see him. And they'll say, please bring me some, you know, some messages. And I've actually done this. So this is another way that somebody can receive healing. And they can ask me specific questions, and I can bring through messages for that person. And I can even do healing for him on the other side, and that even helps the mother to heal in that scenario.
Right, and that's great. So where did you learn all this? How did you actually, what, did you have a teacher?
It was a string and a series of remembrances from past lifetime.
Okay. This is your own thing. You didn't actually learn this from anybody, you're saying.
Right. I did study with many teachers, and I studied many of the different ancient texts and techniques from India, and a lot of them referred to the Akashic Records, but no one actually had anything, you know, concrete on it. So I let it percolate until it was time, and when they said it was time, it was time. And I started to re-remember.
When who said it was time, you're saying?
The teachers, the keepers of the records, the healers, my guides.
There are keepers of the records, you're saying? There are actually keepers of the records?
Yes. Yeah, there are keepers. They're special beings. Okay, so they show up for me as, now it's interesting because oftentimes when people go up to the records, it's them alone in a great hall, okay? And that's the way that they want you to see it, because they want you to access and they want you to feel welcome and to have all of this information that you can start to look through. They don't want to they don't want to distract you by somebody else there. It's not about the other person. Okay? It's about you and your records. So for that reason, a lot of times it's just you in the hall. Now, other people have reported not as often, but some people will go with me into the records and they'll say, I saw a huge tall being that was unearthly, that was, you know, they don't know it. It's not really alien, it's not really this, it's not really that, but it's this tall, otherworldly being that's emanating light, that's holding space within the records. And I call this the keeper of the records. And these are ancient Elohim. There are ancient Elohim angels, which the Elohim are associated with creational energy. Okay? And there are also ancient Elohim angels or angelics that are protecting the records. The records is a very protected place, and that's why the souls can...
Why is it protected? I mean, well, who's going to go in there and mess up the records? I mean, how could...
It just is. It's between God, you know, between Creator God and the souls themselves being part of God. When I use the word protection, it would imply a need for protection. But honestly, if someone were going to use the records for the wrong reason, they're not going to be able to. They're going to get skewed information. So if you want to use it to find your neighbors, it's not going to work.
But how could you even use the records for a wrong reason? How could you even gain access for?
You couldn't. People try. You know, I mean, there are all sorts of vibrations out there, as you know. There are people who are healing. There are healers that are healing, you know, and they tap into certain things, and they're healing the ego, or they're learning about deeper parts of spirit. It could be anybody. It could be somebody in the conspiracy theory community. When they find out about the records, they go, oh, well, you know, Edward Casey and the Philadelphia experiment, and on and on and on, and, you know, the aliens and Santa Claus and et cetera, you know, it becomes a circus at that point, and they think, well, the Akashic Records, I can find anything about anything. I'll just jump right in there, and I'll start seeing this stuff, you know, what's really going on behind the scenes. Well, a person could do that if they had zero conflict. If they had zero investment and zero conflict and they wanted to look at all of this stuff, but that's a lot to look at, you know? It's for most people, it's way more than enough just keeping up with all your own lifetimes.
Right.
I mean, when you get in there and start looking on a soul level at all your lifetimes through the mind, That in itself is enough of a mind blower to keep somebody busy.
So are our future lives already set, or is the future yet to happen?
There are key events that some souls have. They're on a schedule for. I would say for the most part, you're open. Most of the evolution, the souls that are on an evolutionary path they're open for new experiences. I do think that some souls have certain schedule points where, you know, things have to happen by a certain time, so things play out, or that's when there are guides and helpers really working with an individual on the other side to line things up in a person's life.
Right.
Childbirths and things like that.
Well, so how can people get in touch? What's your website?
Alan, the website is Bill Foss. It's www.billfoss.net. And I want to also mention that August 25th, 26th, and 27th, I have a national workshop that's happening in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Omni Severin Hotel. So if anybody is interested in coming to study with me for 3 days in a beautiful historic hotel downtown Indianapolis, August 25th, 26th, and 27th, go to the website and look under events at billfoss.net. And, of course, well, I'll have my books and everything there at the event. And you can find my books also on Amazon. But if you go to my site, then I will hand sign a copy from there and send it out directly to the person.
Okay, so all the techniques are in your book?
Yes, I have other products. I have guided meditation CDs, and I have my first book, The Secrets of Spiritual Success, is available. But for the records, The Journey to the Akashic Records is the one that you want. It's got the blue cover.
Okay, and where are you based at? Are you based out of Oklahoma?
I'm based out of Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, Sedona.
I keep the Oklahoma number because that's where I grew up. I'm originally from Oklahoma, and my parents can get in touch with me easily. You know, it's a local area.
So you're in Sedona. How is that living in Sedona?
Yeah, It's Sedona.
I don't know what that means.
24. It's very high vibrational in a different way. So let's say if you're used to being by the ocean, and you go to the high desert where there's a lot of iron oxide in the red rocks, you're
right.
going to get opened in a different way than you do at the ocean. In the same way. And I'm speaking naturally and practically here, but in the same way, somebody living in the high desert that's open as a result of experiencing all the minerals in the earth and, you know, the natural vortexes that are there in Sedona. And that person is, let's say somebody living in the high desert goes out to the ocean, they're going to open in a whole new way. You know, they're going to get that. The womb of the mother, they're going to feel that the sea mist, they're going to feel a whole different vibration. So often this, you know, we get this when we visit different countries, and we get brought back to remembrances of where the soul has walked the earth in different lifetimes, and there are energy activations that can happen in these places for us, and that's all in the book as well.
Well, that's great. No, thank you for taking the time going through it. Do you feel like is there anything else we need to know? I mean, I'm sure a lot, but anything else you'd like to add?
I really just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I think you're really divinely guided soul and a good person. And
thank you.
Just a pleasure to connect with you and get an opportunity to visit with you, and I hope we get to do some more things in the future.
Great. Well, good luck. Are you pretty busy in Sedona with lots of readings going on?
Well, I stay busy with national readings. I work with people overseas by phone and by Skype, and then I travel out and I'll do expos around the country. I'll teach workshops out of the country once in a while. Then I'm on the road doing my workshops throughout the year as well.
Well, I'll be back. I'll be in Sedona. I was there a couple of times this year, so I'll be back in Sedona at least by next Easter, but maybe before that.
Wow, that's great. Well, we'll have to connect when you're out here.
Yes. Okay. That sounds exciting. So we'll do that, okay?
Sounds great, Alan.
Thank you. Bill, this will be archived on BBS Radio, so you can use this to promote yourself as much as you want, you know.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan.
Okay, so your website again was what for people?
Website again is www.billfoss.net.
That's FOSSE?
Yeah, billfoss.net.
Great, and I want to thank my friend Richard for connecting us, who is on the lookout for so many different things.
Soul.
Yes, really, very tuned in himself, yes. Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Also, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/newrealities. Let me know what you think of all that, and thank you for listening. Good night.